670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Well, it's going better than it is probably for the Ravens this morning, huh?
Oh, gosh.
That's tough. That's a tough loss right there.
Boy, that's hard to give up that many points in the fourth quarter. And not just points, but how about yards?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I think Josh Allen's stats just in the fourth quarter would have been a game.
Yes.
For most people, right?
It's unbelievable. It really. Do you think that was a bigger triumph than his wife's box office hit Sinners? Or was last night the bigger triumph?
I think last night.
Okay, The Sinners is a really good movie.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, it was good, man.
All right, now, were there any other, I know obviously the Cowboys played on Thursday, were there any other games, I'm assuming Green Bay and the Lions, for a multitude of reasons, that really had your attention yesterday?
Yeah, that one, and then Washington and the Giants, since they're playing the Giants this coming Sunday. Washington, you know, that was weird. I mean, maybe the Giants defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
The Giants were doing, they just couldn't score points.
Right.
That was their MO last year too.
But that was it, right? And a lot of it had to do with the offensive line. I thought they improved it, but it sure didn't look like it. And Russell Wilson didn't look like he was seeing the field very well either. I mean, he was pulling it down and running at the, you know, first sign of trouble.
Can you convince Dable to keep him as the quarterback for at least one more week?
I saw that came up after the game, right?
And you kind of thought he'd be like, that's one week, we're sticking with the plan, but he didn't.
We got to go back and look at film and see and analyze. And it's like, okay, that's a non-answer.
Well, and from your history covering the team or just in sports in general, do you feel like you kind of have to roll out like two versions of a game plan then just in case they do switch quarterbacks?
Yeah, but I would imagine – by Thursday, you're kind of going to know. And then you can, kind of change. But, that was the Russell Wilson I think I'd been seeing, though. He doesn't hang in the pocket very long. He takes off, right?
Yeah.
Which I think you'd rather him doing that than standing there throwing the football.
I would be inclined to agree with that.
I thought Washington's defense looked really, really, they played well, especially near the goal line, right? And offensively, it just seemed like they were moving the ball left and right, and they should have scored more than, what did they get, 20, was it 23?
21.
21? That was weird. I think, that defense looks really good. But again, it's the same thing the Cowboys faced on Thursday night. If you can stop the quarterback from running, you got a half a chance to shut down that offense.
If you could pick any player from the Giants to spit on a Cowboys player to start the game and get ejected, who would you pick?
Abdul Carter.
Oh, yeah, and they lined Abdul Carter up a lot in the middle. I saw the versatility that they were using for him.
I mean, they were kind of using him like Cowboys used Micah Parsons, right?
Yes, yes.
Just moving him. And he kind of looks like kind of the same player. I also heard he was a handful at Penn State also. But don't worry about that, right? As long as you can sack the quarterback or whatever, then you're good. So I spent a lot of time watching a lot of games, I guess.
did you find yourself, like, obviously Green Bay and Detroit was an important game.
Yeah.
It would appear likely in the hierarchy of the NFC, but did you find yourself more specifically kind of zeroing in on the plays where Micah was out there and what he was doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you couldn't help it because they'd identify. Usually they don't identify everybody that's on the line, right? But every time he was out there, they identified him being out there.
Sure.
And I don't know if it was all 30 snaps that he took or whatever. Yeah, that back was bothering him, wasn't it?
Yes.
What a bunch of BS, right? God. The way he was running when he finally got his sack, it was like, yeah, that back hurts. Give me a break. It was a terrible excuse. I thought Green Bay, nice job. But again, Detroit just looked out of sync on offense, didn't they?
Yeah, it's like losing Ben Johnson was a problem.
Was it, you think that was it?
Man, it really, like,
I also think that not having Ragnow there in the middle, like, that changes things too. They're, like, you could usually run right. Jahmyr Gibbs ran right behind him a lot.
Yeah,
and that interior offensive line for Detroit just didn't look the same yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you who was not impressive at all. I mean, I remember all this talk about Penny Sewell going into that draft, right? It wasn't Micah Parsons giving him problems. Everybody was giving him problems out there at right tackle.
Which is odd because he's been a really fantastic NFL player.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting to see,
yeah.
Right? I didn't see it. He looks slow on, trying to stop pass rushes, or maybe it was just Micah because he's awfully good at doing that. That was a neat atmosphere for that game, obviously.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score. Scores Mully and Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
But it's Green Bay, right? And it's Buffalo.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, although their fans sure aren't that tough, right? They bailed.
So I thought, I don't know what the actual number was, but I chuckled out loud when Chris Collinsworth was like, there's probably about 25,000 Buffalo fans trying to get back in the
right.
stadium.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They should recharge them whenever they're trying to re-enter on
that. You don't get to come back in, right?
They got
to
show their hand stamp or whatever. I thought it was a phenomenally entertaining weekend of NFL football. So any other games, or honestly, what I really want to know, any other people that you want to take down? Because you've been on fire this morning,
mm-hmm,
Mickey.
Mm-hmm. What? Take down?
Yeah. Micah, Penei Sewell. Who else do we need to take down?
A throat slam around here.
Well, you know what? Do you watch the runs that Derrick Henry makes?
Of course.
Yes.
Do you see the holes that he has?
Mm-hmm. That helps a lot.
I mean, there was a couple runs and, okay, great runs, but, we could have run through those holes. There were holes that he didn't have to run anybody over, right? He was untouched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how does that happen?
Blocking up front.
I guess, right?
Yeah.
Well-designed plays. Yeah. I mean, I know he's got to see the hole and make the cut, but to go 30 or 40 yards untouched, it's amazing, and I thought that last year too when I watched them play, and I know all the yards he ran for and everything, but he doesn't get touched sometimes, right? And then when he gets touched, it's 3 yards, right?
Yeah.
And maybe he's gonna learn to stop the stiff arm thing and hold on to the football.
I do remember Jerry too. He mentioned this, I don't know if it was us, a couple different times, but he did throw out the line of, look, I'm not sure that he would get those yards with this team, this offense. His he was saying our offensive line isn't that good right now.
Well, and it was awfully young last year, starting two rookies.
Yeah, and that was that was one of those lines that just really stuck with me, and I was like, I felt like that was a concession by Jerry to say, I know we're not quite there right now with this group.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't see holes like that, you know, repeatedly around here. So yeah, but that made an impression on me. I know he's good and all that, but
you better quit
sometimes playing bully ball when you're trying to protect the lead, right?
Are there any other former or current all pros that you would like to break down in this moment? Because I am thoroughly enjoying this.
Thoughts on Reggie
let's
White.
See. Yeah, right. He was awfully good, by the way.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure.
Until Eric Williams got in his head.
Oh, man.
There you go.
I mean, they showed a little bit of that in one of the episodes, maybe, on the documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, he would have that big move where he just, you know, side clock somebody and throw them to the ground, and then all of a sudden Eric Williams started playing offense the way Charles Haley played defense, like, I'll do anything I have to do to block you.
Yes,
right? And I think that scares opposing players when you got to play against them.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I watched a lot of college football, NFL football,
did.
U.S. Open tennis.
Okay,
I had all the TVs going.
Hold on, then. I got another question about an all-pro. We'll see if he's any good.
Right.
Did you appreciate, both verbally and going back out there, how CeeDee Lamb has kind of, like, followed up with all of the drops? Because, like, from what he said, he was out there in front of it talking about how he's got to play better. And then I know you have some in-house optional work, and then he was out there at the facility working on the jugs machine. Did you appreciate, both physically and mentally, how he's, like, you know, tried to turn the page?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that I think that showed you his level of frustration when I saw him walking out on the field and he had his helmet in his hand. And it's like, well, where's he going? There's no one out here. There's nothing. Well, one of the, I guess, equipment guys and one of the assistants or whatever goes into the little area over there and pulls out the jugs machine, and he put his helmet on, and in almost a half hour he stood there catching balls from about 10, 15 yards away, and for a long time with his helmet on, okay?
Right.
And it's like, okay, all right, you know, he thinks he needs to work. Now, coming from the jugs machine and coming across the field trying to reach up and knowing you're going to get hit once you catch that ball is a different story, but at least he was like, okay, I got to do something about this. And maybe it was just to, you know, alleviate the frustration he had after the couple drops that he you know, normally makes, let's put it that way. So yeah, that was good on his part, and now just catch the darn ball, right?
You could say damn. It's okay.
Okay, I almost did. I
appreciate
myself.
It nonetheless.
Yeah. I kept it clean. It's Monday, right?
It is Monday morning.
And it's a regular Monday.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, how about that?
Yeah.
Well, an early press conference.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if you could give him a heads up to try to keep it to like 10 minutes, because we have Stephen Jones at noon, and I would really appreciate it if he could wrap it up quickly.
Well, I have double invested in that, because my podcast starts at noon also.
See? There you go.
All right. Well,
let's get this rolling.
I can handle it to 11:59 and still make it by noon, right?
Oh, that's a good point. All right, I'm going to see if I can.
But I'll see if I can help you guys.
Let's wrap this thing up around 11:54.
Yeah, if you could just ask a question and start it by saying last question, like, just to see if everyone will fall in line, that would be
that would be
really awesome.
Hey, before we let you go.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Mick. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
I'll be here. See you.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105 Through the Fan. Man! Some of those all pros getting toasted by Mickey this morning.
Burn the bridges, man.
670 The Score's Mullen Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullen Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.